Hello, my name is Paul Nowazinski. I'm with the Pittsburgh Supercomputing Center, and I'm here to talk today about a couple petascale storage, systems related projects that we've been working on. The first one is a checkpoint project that Regan alluded to earlier. Another project is a storage integration project that's funded by the National Archives. The first panel, I wanted to stress that the projects that we're working on are very they're related, to large scale supercomputing more so than maybe other types of problems that were discussed earlier today. So I just wanted to qualify that, and I also wanted to mention that a lot of the work in this room is geared towards looking at problems that are a few years out, maybe 10 years out, and then trying to figure out protocols and methods to solve these problems. Where this work is really to come up with solutions, geared towards our next machine. So they're more practically oriented engineering type solutions. So the first project that I'll talk about today, well, the first out of two, is a project called ZEST, and ZEST originated out of actually our Track 1 bid, where we started to look at terabyte per second I/O and the cost associated with terabyte per second I/O. And what we discovered was that to checkpoint a machine at the same time that we checkpoint the current architectures, the cost of the storage system needed to provide the same types of service that we're used to would start to dominate the cost of the machine. So what we started to do, and the main reason for this is something that everyone in this room knows, the compute performance is greatly outpacing storage system performance. So as a result, when we go to build these big machines, the storage system costs are becoming prohibitive. They're assuming an increasing percentage of the overall budget. And since we're all storage people, we want to say that storage is really the problem, but it's not. Not for PSC, at least, and I'm sure not for other people that are represented here. Storage is a means, but it's not an end. We want to compute, and that is the goal. So what we're trying to do with this work is find ways to lower the cost of the machine so that we can do more science. So when we were looking at this problem, the first thing we did was say, are there things existing today that we can optimize in our current parallel I/O systems? And I think the answer was resoundingly yes. Because when you look at current systems, they deliver end-to-end bandwidth, which is a fraction of the aggregate spindle bandwidth. So if you put 1,000 spindles on in a storage network, and you actually have an application do I/O to those spindles, you're losing a lot of efficiency. And in terms of storage system costs, this means more cables, more servers, more disks. The cost expands quickly. And why is this? Well, I conclude that our storage architectures today don't enable disk drives to work in their most efficient mode, and this is because a disk drive is like a record player, and it has it works good under certain circumstances, but the systems that we have today don't always put those disk drives in a position where they can succeed. And alarmingly, I think the trend with large core count machines is actually going to exacerbate the problem, because it essentially means that we have more producers and consumers of I/O. So even if every core is doing the right thing, they're issuing sequential I/Os to the storage server, it looks like a random stream of I/O. And this prevents the I/O system from working efficiently. So what's the limitation of the current approach? And this may, I don't know about this, but this is what I came up with. Basically, we're putting data to specific regions on a disk. And the reason, and this is a very strict determinism, and this determinism causes seeking. And whenever we have seeking, we lose performance. Now, why are our models deterministic? Well, I would argue that there are two main reasons, and that are the result of inferential metadata models. And these models are employed by object-based parallel file system metadata and RAID systems. for what these models were designed to do, they're very good at. But the result is that we have to put, the result is that we can't place data in a region on a disk for performance. We have to put it in a region that is governed by these two inferential systems. So what we did was something, you know, maybe a bit aggressive or crazy. We created a non-deterministic performance-wise data placement method with the explicit result, or the explicitly to enable streaming disk bandwidths. So what we try to do is write the data to the fastest available storage, and that's the main, that's the main constraint we have. We don't, we're not constrained by inferential metadata models. And so what Zest does is it facilitates this non-determinism through post-checkpoint data reconstruction, parity declustering, and sort of a fallout of this is that we can send any data block to any storage server. So our, and our goal is to deliver 90% of the aggregate spindle bandwidth for large checkpoint operations. So that's Zest. Now this project is much different from Zest. You know, it was actually started before Zest, but since that, when the Track 1 proposal came along, we ended up with two storage projects. So this is the other one, and this is called Flash 2, and it's really an integration project. It's really meant to address the wide area file system problem that's been prevalent in the TerraGrid now for, I'd say, the last couple of years. And it is really to provide a layer which ties together unrelated storage systems into a common domain. And the reason we want to do this is because we want to provide an efficient way to move data for users so that they can compute, you know, where they'd like to compute. Because as it stands today, moving data, even though we have the networks and the storage systems, it's actually very difficult to do. So, you know, I'll make a statement about data grids. You know, I think data grids result if they're not actually created. You know, if all of the NSF centers have parallel file systems and archival systems existing already, and then we put a network up between those systems, users are going to find ways to use those systems. So we should try to make it easy for them. But there are problems with this. You know, the user may see the whole program's equipment as one resource, but all those resources are managed by their respective site. So really, I think that, you know, you have a conflict here, which eventually, you know, hinders the technical processes that are needed to create uniform interfaces for the users. Because, you know, every site has unique requirements. You know, the requirements that Michelle just described are much different than what, you know, maybe not much different in what they accomplish, but in how they accomplish it are different than the types of things that PSC would do. And because of this, it's, you know, I'll claim that, you know, if creating a common file system requires that all sites have to have file system uniformity, that it will never work. So really what Flash 2 is trying to do is create a file system layer that kind of sits a couple levels up in the stack from where our current parallel file systems sit. So the main goal of Flash 2 is to be portable so that it can run on archival systems, on parallel file systems, on standalone type systems. And we want this to exist in the middle of the stack, not in the kernel. There are many reasons we don't want to be in the kernel. Stability is one, cost of development is another. But I guess the one way to look at this is we want to take the file systems that are online today and sort of use them as object stores, and then have Flash 2 be the object store protocol. And in addition, we want to complement the systems that are out there now. We don't want to reappropriate them or prevent them from doing what they're already good at. So part of the features of this system, like I said before, we would essentially use existing storage systems as object stores. But to supplement that, we would have a standalone metadata controller. And through this, we would be able to do things like system-managed, you know, parallel data transfer, which right now users have to manage themselves. and is difficult to achieve good performance, especially consistently. We would also like to provide a single namespace. And also integrated in with the metadata, we would have a replication management system. And also integrated with the metadata, we would have system stored checksums that would be verified on send and receive so that we could detect bad data and rectify it. In addition, I've touched on this in the last slide, but we want to be able to exist with current data systems on the Terra grid without being too intrusive. So we may need methods for, I don't want to say load balancing, but basically knowing when to stay out of the way. If a job needs the file system, we shouldn't be affecting it in a way that slows down the application. And in addition, one of the last features is that we have a simple mechanism for describing the types of I/O systems that would comprise the Flash 2 storage grid. So things you might want to know are, what site is the system at? What type of system is it? Is it an archival site? Is it a parallel file system that's attached to a specific supercomputer? And through these things, we would be able to help the users with their logical storage tasks. So that's the end of my presentation. We have a poster session on both projects. So if you have more specific questions, there's a lot of us here, so feel free to ask us. Thanks.